You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
I am Calypso. And I'm hosting a tournament. If you win, I will grant you a single wish.
Cowabunga, motherfucker. Get out the way.
It's time for the outsiders to get their fair share.
If we win, we can wish to bring down all the walls.
We're taking them all down. The system, the walls, all of it.
All girls.
Here I come. Here I go.
Prepare for battle in 10. 9.
Make a run at me, I will end you. Feel me?
We knew Calypso wasn't gonna make it easy on us.
That's what makes your wish worth it.
Get out of the way.
It's all happening! It's all happening!
Welcome to Twisted Metal.
Hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion and I am joined every Twisted Sistery time by Jill and Quinny for Yay. Tonight's show. How the bloody hell are you?
We're not gonna take it. No, we're not going to take. You said Twisted Sister, so I'm
sure. Yeah. Yes, it's a twisted kind of a Tuesday, isn't it? It's a Twisted Tuesday. Welcome to Tuesday. Yay. We're here again.
Yay! It's Tuesday. Everybody having a good day?
Sure.
Wow, that's what I like to hear.
And what are we doing today? We're doing a TV roundup.
Hell
yes,
yeah.
That's right. Yes, I did. I got the whip. The whip's here.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, you don't need to add to the whip. We have
do
a whip.
Do we need
sound
to do
effect?
It again with us adding to it?
No.
Us adding to it?
Okay. No, if I'm going to say okay. TV roundup. Fuck.
You have to have
we can't hear it.
You
want to
echo.
Oh, look.
I'm just going to pull back the curtain behind what the big.
If we're going too much, it's going to sound
we
like
can't
it.
Hear the whips. We can't hear the music. The only person who can hear anything of that is Dion.
This is just like a BDSM club by now. Like, this is turning into one of those podcasts. There's too many whips cracking.
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay, so we're back to do another TV show, things that we've been watching, and what are we doing tonight?
We're looking at two different TV shows.
Very different television shows.
Very different.
Very different.
Like diametric opposite ends of the quality or prestige spectrum. I think they're both, you know, they've both got their things, but in terms of prestige TV, yeah.
Yeah.
We've look, got one over here and one way over there.
We're doing, yeah, Twisted Metal Season 2 because we have already reviewed Twisted Metal Season 1 way back in the Wayback Machine a little while ago when that came out the first time because, you know, Anthony Mackie. Taking on the mantle of Captain America, he got to do this show, which is a different tone.
And Dion went looking on the website to find out exactly what we had rated the previous one, and there was a fuck on the website.
I left it there just for fun.
Yeah, we thought it was fine. Perfect.
Yeah, 100%. No notes. That's great. No notes in season one, apart from the fact that they didn't actually have a race.
Yeah,
against anyone at all.
Yeah, for a television show that's based off a racing car game, there was no racing.
There were a lot of cars, but no actual racing.
Car chases, but not for any reason. Anyway, This time around, though, we're in a season two, and this is Quinny.
And we're getting a titular race called Twisted Metal.
Do you have a synopsis for this one, Quinny?
I do. I've literally just navigated away from the page that I just had open.
Right. You're going to do it. Jill, then you can step in and do that.
The only one I can find is actually from the show as a whole, not season two. So, yeah.
Okay.
Look, we'll talk about it. Okay, do I have music? Do I have any
kind of... Yeah, you get some Rob Zombie in the background there.
Oh, excellent.
Infinite whip cracking.
Yeah. No. That's my back knees.
No, it's not Devo.
Okay, I'll go stupid car announcer voice.
Yeah, no. Monster Truckosaurus announcer. There we go.
Okay. Yeah,
Demolition Derby.
Right, okay. Tuesday. In a dystopian future, a milkman with amnesia gets the opportunity to live a better life in exchange for transporting a mysterious parcel. With a car thief by his side, he sets off on the quest of a lifetime. Monday or Tuesday. Yes.
Oh dear, that was good.
Thank you.
And I'm playing the titular, the titular Dragula song because that was the song that they finally use in season two when they actually start a fucking race.
I wasn't prepared for how much effect that song was going to have on the energy of the scene because I was like, oh yeah, right, they're going to do the race. And then that song started and I was like,
yeah, this is dumb.
Exactly. That guy's head's on fire.
Look, I mean, okay, season one quickly was there. It was fine, but it was mainly about, you know, John Doe, the milkman, and Quiet getting to a place where they're trying to get to, and then they finally kind of got there, and then they don't want to be there anymore. And this one finally introduces us to more of the, you know, kind of people around. The other drivers, and I thought.
Sorry, I just realized that your brief synopsis of season one is technically Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah. Yeah. Driving
they got to where they wanted to be, and realized they didn't want to be there anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Like they went to a place, they got a quest, they went and did the quest, and then came back.
Yeah.
That was season one. Season two, though, is they have to reunite. They find, they get introduced to more people, and then they have to race for reasons that are to do with plot, which is exactly what we're watching this whole show for.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was very, I liked season one. I thought it was fun. Like, you know, it's dumb. And it was, very, very willing to revel in its own dumbness.
Yeah.
And you know, yeah, okay, there's a dude with a fire, like his head on fire, and there's one or two of the cars that from the game, and you're like, oh yeah, that's fun. But it didn't go all the way full stupid. And this season does. And that's that's where I was kind of like, oh yeah, good, nice. You know, within the first couple of episodes, you've seen they've introduced a bunch more of the characters, and then
it's a the character unlock screen has gotten wider. We've done the tutorial now, and now we can select more characters.
Yeah,
that's what season two is.
Yeah, and I think it's episode three that starts with I'm not even sure the name of the character, the biker guy with the skull helmet.
Okay. So I was getting to my favorite parts of the season, and that's one of them.
Okay, as in that episode where they introduce him or that character?
There's a bit with that character that I was like, okay, this is getting me a bit better. Like, I mean, this thing's always stupid, and it's very funny in the sense that it's stupid already. But then they introduce a little bit more comedy. And no, Casper just asked a question. He's like, is the full season out? It isn't out, so I can't spoil the ending because I don't know what the ending is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good chunk of it out though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there were two more episodes released on the 21st, so in 2 days, and then I think it'll have one more episode after that.
Yeah.
Because first season was 10 episodes. But yes. I just loved it the way that they introduced a character and straight away we've ramped up the stupid. This character is sucking souls out of people and stuff like that. And you're like, oh shit. Okay. Are we we're doing magic shit. And you've got Calypso, who's the the bad guy, I guess, who's running the whole thing, and he's offering a wish. The prize for everybody for winning Twisted Metal is a wish. And you're like, okay, the first one was vaguely grounded.
Yeah, this one is definitely leaning more into supernatural territory.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
is it though?
That is the question, because you see this guy sucking souls and you're like, holy shit. But then there are people that are witnessing it happen and they can't see what we see. No, and so you're like, is this guy just fucked in the head? Like, what's going on?
I kind of like that it is a bit in that crazy Mad Max way where it's like, this is just fucked in the head because everyone's fucked in the head. It's a post-apocalyptic chaos space. And they may think that they're doing things, but they're not actually doing those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And the people who, like, as you meet a lot of the characters, you're like, are you completely crazy or are you vaguely normal? And there are characters who are presented as being vaguely normal that you then go, I'm pretty sure you're actually more crazy than everybody else.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, because the only sane reaction to the world that you're living in is to be as batshit crazy as everyone else.
I mean, we've still got Sweet Tooth and Stu, which, you know, his protege Stu, which I still love that dynamic. That's a good one. But we get introduced to like newer, like the Reaper Man. Is that his name? I don't even know what his name is.
I think he's called Grim.
Grim, and then we have other characters like Axel.
My new favorite character.
Who is explained, like, it's weird, isn't it? It's like, oh, the Grim is a supernatural one that can steal people's souls, kind of. But Axel is like a man that had been experimented on and drinks gasoline.
And that's,
but they
he
just
got
keep
turned
going
into
with
a car, but he is literally the axle of the two wheels that he rides around on. It's so fucking stupid.
It's so weird.
And seeing him move around in like the big battle sequences, everything, it's just this thing that reminds you, like, this is fucking dumb.
Yeah.
It's based off a computer game, man.
Yeah, and he's in the computer game. That's the thing. Yeah. Like,
it's like a 5-year-old created the character. It's so bizarre.
Yep. Yes. I love it.
And we got, and also we've got recast Raven, who has turned up now. And it's always great to see Madison back again.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah. You know, she's left the time. She's not hanging out with Wongers anymore at the moment because he's doing that triangle run everywhere.
He's doing the Naruto run.
Naruto running. I'm going to call triangle running because Naruto running is like, it's too far back. Whereas,
leaning forwards,
forwards and stuff. And this, the witch one is just a little bit like, you know, I don't know. I don't, what am I, why am I holding my arms like this? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm gonna run like a circle next time. I'm gonna be like, start a new trend for kids.
Yeah.
Forget planking, circle running is the new thing.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like the season two, like, has this sort of arc that, I mean, you made the comment, Dion. Oh, episode 5 and we've just got to the race.
Yeah, fuck it. It took a season and a half before the first fucking race started. Come on, man. Yeah.
We had lots of world building to do.
Yes.
My word, we did.
And every individual other racer needed their time in the sun to explain their backstory, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Lots and of character development.
Yeah, and build a bit more character for Quiet, and also build up John and, you know, his family history and build
Dollface and Mayhem and all those characters we know and love.
Yeah.
From the
computer
game.
Yeah.
That we've all played.
Well, I was going to ask that, and I do kind of want to know. Have any of us actually played the game?
I've never even fucking heard of the game before this show came out.
Amazing.
I have 100% seen the cover of the PlayStation 2 game. Yeah.
Yep. I have such a clear memory of the crystal CD case or DVD case that was the Twisted Metal, Twisted Metal 2, PlayStation game, and going, oh, that looks so dumb, and never play it.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of like, oh, I really kind of want to have some kind of nostalgic reaction to it because, like, it looks like fun.
Do
it's
you
got
though?
Some like stupid 90s vibes about it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you, though? Big because time. Just a reminder here, Twisted Metal came out in 1995.
Yeah, there you go.
And so that should give you an idea of the scale and quality of the game.
Oh, yeah, no. I know it's going to be shit.
I mean, if you're not Mario Kart, you're a shit racing game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I was trying to remember whether this one was even an actual racing game or whether this was one of the more like just demolition derby kind of things where you drive into a ring and then just drive around and
okay.
So it started off that kind of way, driving around streets and doing stuff, but I mean, this one seems to be more heavily based on the 2012 computer game, which every character has an arc. Okay. So it's a bit like Mortal Kombat. You can play them all together and you get their stories all pieced together and you understand why.
Right. Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, because, yeah, as far as I can remember, the only thing I can remember is the cover of the 1995 original, which has the truck with the big clown head on the top of it.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
All I can remember. So now I'm like, oh, now do I want to have a look at? Oh, I see. And in the Twisted Metal 2012 one, they've got Sweet Tooth who's got an eye missing and stuff. So they're referencing that. That's all very clever. I wish I cared.
I mean, harsh, but fair. I mean, like, it's fun. Like, I'm enjoying watching them have a red hot go because it is, at least they understand when they're making this, it is dumb.
Yeah.
Like, the games are dumb and they're a nostalgic thing. And this is just kind of like, hey, just have fun with it. And we'll just chuck in as many jokes as we can and try and make stuff go a bit crazy. Yeah. Thanks, Protokanga. You're filling back in all the characters. Yes, they do have their stories. I was talking more about the 2012. It wasn't just that. There was story in the past. But, I mean, just have fun with it. It's a whole bunch of different crazy characters, crazy situations that they can add stuff to that isn't too, like, they're not bound by too many laws in this. They can make stuff up as they go, including that time that they go to that place where there is a sex party. And that's just weird. And that's fine because you're going, Mad Max World is not great.
I mean, if you enjoy sex parties, Mad Max World's probably a great time.
Not that one. But as they keep trying to, like, as I kept sort of going there, which was like, this is a post-apocalyptic world, right? You should, like, if you're having sex, this is going to be weird because everyone smells funny and bad and hygiene's not really a thing. Anyway.
Like, when you get to that kind of sex party, I think everybody's just accepting the fact that there's going to be weird smells.
I do love that they tied it in, though, by going, oh, no, you know, like, someone killed my lube guy. Which was a callback to earlier in the season, which was great. I was like, oh, yeah, they killed a guy who made the lube, who was a weirdo. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah.
I like sometimes you need serious drama, but sometimes you just need dumb, stupid fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there were even a couple of moments where I had not a full dramatic, you know, pathos moment, but like there's a point where one of the characters dies and I was like, oh shit, that's a bit rough.
Yeah.
You know,
you leave faceless corpse number three alone.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of death. There's a lot of killing. But also, it sort of has that kind of feel of like an 80s G.I. Joe where there's just lasers going everywhere. It's like pew, 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 and there's rockets going everywhere. And nobody's really getting that hurt.
No, it's just, you know, that's the kind of thing. You have to have a good death for each one because they're favorite characters.
Mm.
So, you know, do I think it's going to get out of season two? Not sure.
I mean,
I'd watch a third one.
You watch a third one. You down for it?
Yeah.
How much more? Yeah. How much more can they go? Is it John Doe and Quiet having a baby on the road?
Oh God!
Like, where are they going with that?
I'd watch it. Like, there's an idea as to where they're heading at the end of this season, and you're like, okay, I've got a fair idea as to what.
Sure.
You know, we're gonna get. And it's probably not going to be a big magical wish that fixes the whole world.
Mm.
Yeah,
but
I think you're right there, Jill. It's just have fun.
Mm.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the first season, so I was looking forward to this second one. I was keen as, and yeah, I was like, oh, I'll start it, And then I watched the first episode. I'm like, oh, we're back, fellas. Let's keep going. Exactly. Binge seven episodes very quickly.
Oh, nice work. Yeah. I had the same sort of thing where I it took me 10 minutes or something just to get my eye back in.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of like, oh, this feels a bit cheap, because the first season felt cheap and shit.
Yeah, like, but that's part of the charm, I think.
Exactly.
If you're making a dumb, stupid, fun show, like, let's not, you know, spend time trying to put makeup on a pig.
No, exactly.
it's true.
Let the pig be naked.
Yeah.
It's all right for everyone to be like, hey, that's a pig. It's like, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
I mean, interesting. Like, I understood the tonal shift though, because they did change filming locations, so it did go from a New Orleans sort of Southern American kind of hot, gritty area to good old Canada
strips
and industrial areas that have kind of gotten, and the forests and stuff. And I was like, this feels all right. They moved the production. I get you. Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's always cheaper to shoot in Canada, as we've. We all know. But what it does mean is that everything looks slightly wetter.
That's okay. Any standouts from season two, things you want to mention before? Because, I mean, we're going to get on. We've got the other one to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. I like the new characters that we're getting introduced to. Sure. Everyone's got their own little quirk.
Got a favorite?
Who's your favorite? Just
all plays off of each other. I'm enjoying Mayhem. And I like Axel. It's so dumb.
Yeah. What does he do? Oh, he turns into the axle of two big wheels and then stands on a weird little platform with machine guns on it.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
Dion. Oh, do you know what? I'm kind of, I don't know why, but I kind of like Vermin, the crazy southern one that's. Yeah, like, it's just a bit unhinged, but, like, actually, and I didn't know, like, I like how they explained away the recasting of
Nev Campbell.
Nev Campbell. It was just like, oh, Raven's just a title. Anyway, I'm the new Raven.
Yeah.
Like, moving on, everyone. And everyone's like, okay. But even in the show.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Even in the show, though, they're all like, okay. Yeah. She grew on me, actually, as a character. I was like, oh, this is a bit boring. But I was like, oh, no, I'm here. So I have to say, yeah, the two women were good. I'm enjoying it. It's still really dumb.
Yeah.
But fair enough. I feel like Anthony Mackie took a little bit of a backseat in season two for some reason. I felt that way. It wasn't, though. When I go back and think about it, it is very heavily following still him and his story and Quiet and Dollface and all that kind of stuff. But I just felt because they're adding so much into it this time with new characters, it just felt like, whoa, where are we? Oh, okay, we're just doing this now.
Yeah, there's a lot more characters to give screen time to. My favorite, still, like, something that caught my eye. I actually think Anthony Carrigan's doing a great job as Calypso. Like, I love the fact that he makes him as weird and as uncomfortable as he should be. You know, he like, oh no, I don't like that laugh at all, and I find that really annoying. That's intentional.
Yeah.
But the one that I still think is a standout for me is the combination role of Sweet Tooth, because you've got Samoa Joe, who's doing the body, but you've got Will Arnett doing the voice.
Yeah.
And I find that the body, like the physical acting, is as good as the voice.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, quite often, you know, you've got a physical actor who's really, you know, just not doing much or whatever. But in this, they're really married. And I dig that. I think that's very, very cool.
Yeah.
And as somebody in the chat said before, I also like the fact that, you know, the graphics do look a little bit PlayStation 1-y.
Yes!
Sweet Tooth lights his head on fire. Yeah, that's definitely PlayStation graphics.
Yeah, not mad about it.
Nope.
You can't really be mad about it. You got a quick rating for so far? Because it's only halfway through. Well, not halfway through the season, but it's not finished
just
yet.
Just over halfway.
No.
I don't know. I don't know.
Worth watching? How many? Wait, okay, let's do yourself a favor there. We don't have to do ratings this time around. It's okay. We don't have to go through that. Because both the seasons aren't finished, so we can't really make that judgment. And it is just a TV roundup. We don't need scores. But Jill, how many tits are on you at the moment?
One.
One tit.
Just one.
One tit off.
Excellent. One tit off for Jill.
Yeah, nice. It's fun.
Right.
Excellent.
Quinny, how many tits?
That's it.
That's it. That's it. That's already. No.
That's it. Okay, done.
Quinny,
I'm a single tit too because I'm having fun. You know, there's nothing that's made me really go, holy shit, that was amazing. You know, there's for a show about cars. You know, there's not that much spectacular driving or stunt work. Sure. But
yes, I know. Yeah, a bit strange.
But there's a lot of CGI rockets with colourful smoke. Yeah,
and they're trying to get the cars as accurate as they can to the games, or as best as you can.
Do it. Lots of plosions.
Plosions. Love it.
I'm sorry, Casper. Have you not been around for our new rating system?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. That's
revolutionary.
A bit of a catch-up. Nippolutionary. I'm gonna give it like maybe I'll like if Jill can come up with a new rating system of how many tits off.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. I'm gonna go how many beers deep out of a six pack before you start having a good time. For this one, I'm gonna be like three beers deep. I'm having a great time. That's okay. Yeah,
because this reminds me of a long time ago when we came up with that other rating system for number of beers it would take to watch the film or whatever, or to enjoy the film.
Oh.
And the minimum was one, because it's always nice to have a beer.
Sure. I don't even remember that. I'm just thinking out of a six pack, how many do I have to have before I'm like, yeah, this is all right.
Yeah.
I reckon about three.
Yeah, you know? Three beers and you're having a good time.
Yeah,
we're all going to have our own individual systems now.
Exactly. Don't worry, we'll get back to the actual.
Come up with something gritty.
Mine's probably going to be how many toys did I play with while watching it?
How many times did
I transform the thing on my desk?
How many times did you put the phone down?
Poor.
Oh,
Jesus, calm down.
Speaking of having to put the phone down.
Indeed.
Let's go on to the next one that we have now, Chief of War.
This island. This is your home. This land will hold you long after I am gone.
Tell me of the outside world.
It is strange. The pale skin honors no gods of the land. They will be coming soon. If this island is divided, this kingdom will fall.
Kaiana is the fist of our people. We will need him to face the troubles that come our way.
I feel like the gods are against me.
Our gods are the same in that way. They speak to men about men. They don't speak with me.
I
want to fight.
Helalani ho'okahi no nāu puniapau. Oko ulalani no ia. Ekani ka pūkaua! takes gods and men to build a kingdom. And no matter what happens to me, this is your home.
For this one,
yeah, well,
no dual screening this one.
No, the only time I recognized a word was when someone said mahalo and ohana, and that was about it.
Mm-hmm. Look, I came into this one pretty blind, really.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's a C reference. How many you need to see? yes, Apple TV's last banking into the project of Jason Momoa. Not that it's really his project, but anyway, gave a C, and now we have this one, Chief of War, which is actually one of those ones that I'm like, I'm really enjoying this.
Me too.
Mainly for the fact that I'm learning. I have to pay attention because it's mainly in a different language and I need the subtitles.
Yes.
And it's beautiful because it's fucking Hawaii, so everything's going to be great. And I'm really, really enjoying all the different First Nations people on screen and the stories about theirs. And it seems to me to be being told in a way that they want it to be told in.
Yeah.
So I'm really
Tari's asking if it's where Cook meets his end. It's actually post-Cook.
Yeah, post-Cook. Mm.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
I actually refer to him as like, oh, that's where, yeah, like, got to be careful around Hawaii. That's where Captain Cook got killed.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, yay.
Yeah. And they mentioned him a couple of times and it's like, oh, yeah, Cook, that's where we killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then somebody's like, oh, he was a great leader. And then somebody's like, fuck, no, he wasn't.
Yeah.
He kicked his ass.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, ooh, okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He was an asshole and we killed him for being an asshole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, like essentially we're kind of in prestige territory, prestige TV territory.
Yeah.
And you know, it's got elements of kind of Game of Thronesy, but in the sense of the politics and the intrigue and the sex. Well, maybe not as much sex. Like,
no. And I mean, you know,
there is one very
there's
awkward
one
sex
scene, thing. But it's like all as shadow puppets, like
yeah, yeah.
Not like Naked Gun. Not like that. Kind
of. Yeah, yeah. Or Austin Powers. Yes, the shadow fuckets. Which is just a cultural thing. So to me, I was like, oh, well, the rest of this show seems to be researched in such a way that it's providing a pretty accurate one, but I'm like not sure I would like to get married to a Hawaiian person.
The fact that there's somebody sitting there in the cuck chair, literally,
I know.
I was just like, that's fucking
it just
awkward.
Looks like someone's grandma.
Yeah, grandma is there to make sure that the stuff's happening, as well as the rest of the tribe standing around going,
yeah, but the fucking Europeans did that shit too.
Did we?
Yeah.
Yeah. The royal Europeans did. They're like, oh, okay, this is a marriage. We need an heir. We're going to watch to make sure you two fuck so that the baby comes.
Mm-hmm. And the guy first.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Maybe I want to live in the C universe after all.
Nobody's watching anybody fuck there. But yeah, so it's got that prestige TV kind of thing. And the closest thing I could kind of sort of equate it to is kind of Shogun.
Yeah.
Like in terms of that really like deep storytelling and like the real immersion in culture, like this to me feels like, you know, somebody said, watch Shogun and went, I want the Hawaiian version of that.
Yeah, kahuna.
Yeah, yeah. And let's you know, tell the story of our greatest king, Kamehameha, and let's do it through this other character and, you know, follow that. So I suppose, do you want the synopsis?
Oh, please.
Sure, but all they have is Dragula if you want music behind it. No, we'll not be. I'll not be putting that.
And nor will they be putting on a Poe fucking Kiwi or Hawaiian accent.
a pure.
Can you speak it in a Polynesian language?
No.
Oh God, I would.
No, Quinny, just stick to the lane that you've been given. A pure colonial white person.
Hello, Will. Hold that. Yes. The story is told from the perspective of the indigenous people and follows Kaiana, a Hawaiian warrior, as he navigates a bloody campaign to unite the warring kingdoms and protect them from the looming threat of our colonization. Yes. The series highlights the political and military struggles, cultural identity, and traditions of the time and place. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes, excellent, excellent. Yes, yes, great. Mm. Are we sending a naturalist round to see what happens?
Yes, yes. Yep. It's, oh man, I was struck by when I was watching this that one of the things I loved about Shogun so much was that way that they show how completely fucking savage the white man is.
Yeah.
You know, we have this idea that Western European culture is the height of culture.
Mm.
And then you put it into another culture that operates beautifully, you know? Yeah. And not, I'm not saying that you know, the four kingdoms of Hawaiian islands that we see are perfect. They're at war. There's, you know, a lot of violence and shit like that. But there's you know, beauty to it. There's nobility to it. There's you know, culture, there's history, there's all of these things that dopey ass white man comes in and goes, ah, savages.
Exactly. You know, I'm really enjoying seeing these high, like, well-made shows telling it from a perspective that isn't the bog standard narrative that we've been doing for hundreds of years, saying as a white colonialist person, which is like, oh, you know, oh, sure, they were doing stuff, but, you know, it's fine. We brought, you know, stuff to them and everything got better. It's like, perhaps if you had of treated them as though they'd been existing and doing this for a long time and that their way was better, you wouldn't have all the problems that you have had to brute force your way through.
Yeah, so, like, your civilization's not better than my civilization. Like,
sure.
They're just different.
Yeah, the difference is like, yeah, okay, you've turned up and you're really hungry after a long voyage, but you don't know how this food works or how to provide it for yourself. But you're going to say, we're better than you because you look different, you're not doing this, you haven't got these things.
You're not wearing pants.
Yeah.
You know? But also,
if we're not,
why the fuck would you wear pants?
Yeah, but if you don't help us, we're gonna die in about 40 minutes. You know, like, that's kind of the white colonial narrative, isn't it? It's like, oh my god, this is such a harrowing journey, and now I'm here and I don't even know how to get food for myself. Where's the sheep I need to shoot to eat?
Yeah, we don't know what to do. Hey, native people, can you help us? Okay, thanks. We're gonna take all of your shit now.
Yeah.
What do we think of Jason Momoa in this?
I think he's quite good. I'm enjoying his performance. I love everybody's performances, and I love their commitment to language.
Well, yep.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I mean, I've seen more of Jason Momoa's ass than I've ever seen before.
He's looking good.
Oh, yeah. I'm not against like that, but I'm just like, you know what? I've seen a lot of ass in this show, and like some people may enjoy that. but you're also right. I'm really enjoying the stories of the Hawaiian people. All of the secondary and other characters that are around, fascinating, great to watch, seem to have their own interesting and diverse storylines. They all have a purpose, they work together. And I know that it's taken, you know, you're right earlier, Quinny, I think you're saying like it's kind of Game of Thronesy. Like there's a lot going on, you got to figure out who fits in where and why and whether or not they're good or they're bad, but it doesn't really matter because they're all part of this big distinct chain with a culture. So just get on board with it.
And there are some characters that you can kind of tell from fucking second one, okay, he's a baddie, you know?
Yeah.
And like, there are people that you're like, they play the bad guy well. You know, I think Tim Morrison is one of those actors that, you know, back in the past, back in Once Were Warriors days, he was fucking terrifying. And, you know, for quite a long time, he kind of softened and became, you know, somebody that you're like, yeah, okay, that's just him. In this, I'm like, yeah, okay, he's back to being quite intimidating. And that Islander Warrior fucking attitude, works.
Yeah, there's some great political intrigue in this, a lot of moving pieces in terms of like, you know, like who wants to be the king and who wants to lead the islands and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's, I suppose, where it's a bit Game of Thrones-y. And then where you get your shogun in is like all of the dedication to culture. You have these beautiful sets that are all like traditional homes and the costuming is stunning. Like we get to see there's a wedding scene and the beautiful cultural dresses that they wear, just stunning. Like they're so simple, but they're so beautiful.
And even the sort of vestments of royalty that you see throughout, like
the feathers. Capes are just gorgeous.
Yeah. And realizing that the amount of effort and you know energy that has to go into making them.
Yeah.
You know, how many birds are you catching and then
Of it is, and this is part of the production too, they had cultural advisors in every department. So yeah, in order to maintain that honesty and the integrity of the production, they had someone who would be like, no, we didn't actually do it that way. Or this is how we should be making it. And they actually built some of those war canoes from materials on the island to use in the production. And I'm like, that's the kind of stuff that you want. Like, you know, if you're going to do a story about something, do it with the people.
Yes.
That's about.
Yeah.
And that shows. So this is what you're saying. Like, it shows. It shows in the costuming, shows in the sets, shows in the actors, the extras, you know.
Holy shit, like the employment opportunities for like Hawaiian people and Islander people full stop. I just watched this and I was just like, Jesus Christ, there are so many people on the screen.
Let's be honest though, don't look too closely at some of the background actors during some of those bigger fight scenes.
Yeah, I'm sure it was just like, are you Polynesian passing? Like, do you have dark hair? Like, maybe a bit of a tan? Come on down.
Yeah, I thought it's
can
more,
you fight? It doesn't matter.
I think it's got more to do with the fact that these are not paid actors. These are people who look the part and perhaps have never done this before. And maybe at the time that they got the take that they were using, it may have been a long day and everyone's a bit tired and they're kind of like doing it again, okay, fine, you know, but like it's great.
But yeah, your main cast are all pretty incredible. Like Jason Momoa, you know, is eminently watchable. Then you Lucianne Buchanan, who's sort of, I guess, well, and that's the other thing, there's lots of good female roles as well. Like it's not just one lead female. We've got, you know, warriors, you've got mothers, grandmothers, the people who are getting married off. There's lots of really solid roles. And Vi, who's an interesting character who you meet later on in the season, there's somebody who was an Islander who then has gone lived in Western society for however long, and you're like, oh, okay, right, so we're getting different aspects of those characters. There are like quite a few times I saw somebody show up on screen and I was like, why do I know that guy? And then realizing like there's one there who plays Kiowa, is acting.
Yes, he's a New Zealand dude.
Yeah, Cliff Curtis, and has been doing shit for so many years.
Yeah, I saw him. I know that guy.
I mean, it was filmed in New Zealand. So don't be surprised if you have a fair bit of, like, you know, New Zealand people showing up. But they're doing it quite well by making sure that they have traditional tattoos of Hawaiian culture and other stuff that are there. So, like, you know, I'll forgive them for bits and pieces.
I didn't realize it was shot, like, in New Zealand. Like, there are parts of it that are very obviously shot in Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah.
There's bits that you cannot, like, get away with saying that this is New Zealand.
Yeah, it's the Bay of Islands is the main shooting location to help go through that. I mean, you know, New Zealand is kind of set up for this stuff. Not sure that Hawaii has a lot of those things, but hey, who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
They're making decisions about why they shoot there. It's still the Polynesian and Hawaiian and Pacific Islander people.
Aotearoa is still part of the Polynesian, you know, diaspora. So
Yeah.
One
thing I found interesting is that, like, one of the big names about, you know, Hawaiian history is Kamehameha.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's like the big king, the one that everybody still talks about and has statues of all around Hawaii and everything. I was fascinated by how long it took for the series to get to introduce him.
Yeah.
You know, we've really focused very heavily on Kaiana for like most of it. But then, yeah, it takes a long time to really bring Kamehameha into the story, which I guess makes sense. You don't want to
But it kind of feels like they're dragging this out into what they hope to be like a longer running series. It's like, well, we're not going to play all of our cards in the first episode. We're going to slowly build this and, you know, give it a slow burn through all of the political movings that lead up to Kamehameha. And like, however many episodes we're in now, I forget how many I've seen, but like, he's not even king yet. So we've still got a ways to go.
Which, you know what, if this one gets a few seasons, great.
Yeah.
Like, I hope that it does. Cause I mean, that was one of the things that made me sad at the end of Shogun is that it was like, well, that's the end of the story. I mean, they're going to go back and do another one, I'm sure. But I love being involved in a world and immersed in it and knowing, okay, I've got another season or two to enjoy being in this story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, originally it's a limited mini series, but Jason's talking about going, hey, could do two, maybe three.
Yeah, get into it.
I mean,
solid work for him, but it's also like promoting his heritage and voices of his culture. So let's do it.
And I mean, you know, if they do season two and then they start getting further and further in, The Rock will show up eventually.
maybe they'll like sell to Samoa. He's the high chief of Samoa now.
Yeah.
You're right, is he?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's the kahuna.
Yep. The big kahuna.
Yeah. And interestingly, part of the prophecy, you know, we're talking about in this, there's a prophecy of like uniting all the islands and being, you know, the chief of war or whatever it is.
Aotearoa. Oh, fuck, now
see, it's
Aotearoa.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Is actually part of that prophecy as well.
Oh.
So, yeah, like there's lots of different levels and stuff if you look into it. But like, this is interesting. I think this show is really successful. Because it was interesting to learn, and now I want to learn more about it and research the people that it's based on in a broader sense. So that's really good for a TV show to spark that bit of curiosity.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Does it send you on a Wikipedia deep dive?
Fuck yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, it's 2 a.m. and I'm up researching the third cousin nephew of Kamehameha and why he was doing deals with some Chinese merchant to get gunpowder.
Yeah.
It's like all that kind of stuff.
And in the chat, Tari's asked the question, this is the first season. And like, yes, it is the first season. One thing I did like about this was the way that it kind of, it jumps you into the middle of a story. Like, you know, we're jumping in at a point where there's conflict happening between the different kingdoms already. And, you know, war has either just happened or is just about to happen. Mm. There's a lot of history that's already been before. And I really love that it sort of builds on it.
I love it. It just keeps going. Like, it's really, it's just, it drops you in. First, it's subtitles, because unless you can understand the language, you won't know what the fuck's going on. So you've got to watch it. It's in the middle of stuff of a series of islands in perpetual war that are always kind of invading and pushing back each other, because it's a kind of tribal warlike people and everyone wants the resources that these islands can provide. So it's already confusing. And then you have the added problem of the white man.
Yeah.
You know, who is always there in the background shadowing that thing of like, oh, but what about the colonialists?
Yeah. So,
yeah, it's interesting.
And you know that when they show up, shit's going to go wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, oh, white people.
Yeah.
Not again.
We even get a time skip. Like, we jump a whole 12 months, in the first couple of episodes. So,
yeah.
Moving along at a clip, but also sort of keeping a pace where we're not, you know, dumping an entire story on you in two episodes.
Yeah.
Mm.
They're building it out.
Yeah. But, yeah, much more interesting than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I'm loving it.
And, you know, nothing like C.
No, thank God.
Nothing like C. Yeah. It has elements of mysticism here and there, like the prophecy. There's the prophetess.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Taula. I like her. Mm.
Yeah, she's great. Like, you know, there's nothing that I've watched out of this show that I was like, eh, that didn't work for me.
Even Tim's acting. As Dion so vocally said, was terrible.
Not on stream, but I was just a little bit like, oh, buddy. But there's limited Tim.
He's a good bad guy.
Yeah.
I think he does a great bad guy.
Yeah.
Nobody glowers like Tim Morrison.
No.
You know?
No.
It's funny, like when you hear everybody else speaking the Hawaiian language and then hearing him speak it, you're like, wow, you're a New Zealander. Like, there are so many languages that you're just like, that sounds an awful lot like Māori than it does the Hawaiian language. But, you know, they're obviously based on the same language. So
yeah, they're very similar.
Well, yeah. I'm going to say one beer deep, having a good time.
Hey, nice.
Yeah.
Two tits off here.
Two tits off for Jill. One beer for Dion. Quinny.
And I didn't have to look at my phone at all.
There you go.
I even pick up a transformer while I was watching it.
Good news all round then.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Well worth a look.
Well worth on for those. There you go. There's our quick little roundup. Oh, well, sorry. There we go. That's a better thing.
Oh, thank you.
Speaking
and Karina is right. Momoa has both his tits out.
So yes, he does. And cheeks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
God, there's a lot of Momoa.
DNA.
It's all right. Like, you know what? The Apple people know what women want, and some men, both. They know what the people want, and they're giving it to them. It's fine.
Yep.
And next week. So what are we doing next week? Another TV roundup.
Another TV roundup.
I know, yes. We're off there. Next week we're coming back with the second season of Peacemaker, which I don't have a sting for. There's no music there. I wish I had an eagly scream. Next week I'll work on having an eagly scream.
Do you really want to taste it?
And
they have a new intro dance.
They do. Completely new, different song. The whole world.
I'm so excited.
I know, right?
Yeah, we'll see how this goes. And also Alien Earth, which is coming out.
Yes.
Which has been out a couple of weeks.
No, it started last Wednesday.
Yeah, last Wednesday.
Haven't touched it yet.
Yeah. Yes.
That's going to be an interesting conversation, let me tell you.
Yeah, let's have a talk.
No.
We'll see how we go.
I was also reminded by Jezza that we never actually went back to do the spoiler talk for Romulus. So apparently when we were doing Romulus, we said, I will come back and talk about Romulus spoilery, because we must have just like...
We didn't?
No.
No, I think it was brand new and we just didn't want to go into that kind of...
Okay.
Like the
I feel like we would have talked about like giving birth to a hybrid...
I know.
Like, we would have talked about that.
Yeah, right? Like, he sent me a message just going, hey,
are you
ever going to do the second part of Romulus? And I was like,
what?
Okay, sure. Good reminder.
So maybe we'll just touch touch that one when we do Alien.
It could have been a social reaction one.
Could well have been a social reaction one.
But look, you know, we are going to give the people what they want. If you want us to talk about Alien Romulus, maybe we'll do a bit extra next week. I'm going to say that we'll do Peacemaker first, and then Alien Earth, and maybe a bit of Romulus.
Yeah,
sure.
Why not?
Why not?
Just for fun.
Yes,
I'm, again, I'm super excited for it because, like, I'm super pumped for Peacemaker. James Gunn said that it's the thing he's probably the most proud of doing in a long time, and like, I really like Superman, so you know. And it's all going to be part of the new DC universe. So.
Yeah, DC fanboy.
I'm
got to be a Snyder stan.
Oh fuck!
It's going to be dark and gritty.
Man, I don't know. Obviously, the Snyderverse thing just like touched a certain kind of person in a very particular way.
Yeah, I do have to say the 4-hour Justice League Snyder cut was a superior film.
It was, but absolutely.
Yeah, but that's like comparing dog shit and horse shit. So,
like one's mostly grass, smells slightly better. Okay. You know.
And the other one's full of marabone jelly.
Yeah. Somebody was like, on the social media, they're like, I challenge all of you James Gunn fans, say something nice about the Snyder Superman. And I was like, okay. There are things about it. Look, there are parts about it I didn't mind. I thought Justice League, the proper extended cut, had some really cool bad guys and shit in it. Like, yeah. I like the way that they did the Fourth World stuff and Steppenwolf and all that. That's about it.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, the rest of it was fucking terrible.
You know, Apocalypse Batman looked cool.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
End of story.
Mm. And then by the time you get to The Flash, it's all over.
We don't need to go through there. Okay, that's it. That's what we're doing. So, yeah, we've got Chief of War, Twisted Metal Season 2. Twisted Metal, just turn your brain off, have some fun. Much like playing PlayStation and getting absolutely baked. And then...
exactly what it is. 100%.
And Chief of War, put your phone down. Learn something. Yeah. Have some fun with that too.
Good shit.
Yeah? Yeah. Excellent. And we'll see you all next week for some more. Get onto your homework. Get on the homework.
Yeah, go on. Find them, watch them, give it some love. But also, if you do watch Chief of War or whatever, drop us a line. Tell us what you love about it. We always like hearing from you.
Yeah, I want to know. Like, you know, do we get it wrong? Yeah, are we the dumb?
Please let us know.
Yeah, yeah. I watched the show that you recommended and it was dog shit. I'm never listening to your podcast ever again. Oh, God.
Now, was it dog shit or was it horse shit?
No really ratings. Getting too confused with the ratings. Do you think we're going to have any success getting Peter back by making her watch Alien Earth?
Peter couldn't
make it on this one. She's been away because she's had to do some stuff because, you know, person.
We're taking bets on whether we'll see Peter next week, but odds are pretty short.
Yeah, odds are pretty short on that one.
Definitely
wasn't down for Twisted Metal, but we will try and get her to watch Chief of It.
Oh, for sure.
Probably get it. Okay. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good night. See you later.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.